Hi everybody, welcome back to the Wild Adventures podcast. I hope you've all had a fantastic week and you're ready for a new episode of the Wild Adventures podcast. Today we've got an interview with Roy. He owns his own business called Player Data. And Player Data is technology, so wearable technology, that enables teams and coaches to unlock the data behind their performance on and off the pitch. I know, sounds fascinating, right? Well, I had a fantastic chat with Roy about how he set up the business, how he learned everything from scratch, basically, in his role as the CEO and one of the co-founders. I really hope you enjoy this episode. I really enjoyed hearing his story and hearing about how he set up Player Data. So enjoy yourselves.
My name is Roy Hotrabhavanan. I am the co-founder and CEO of Player Data, a Edinburgh-based sports wearable company. Our goal at Player Data is to make affordable and accessible sports wearable devices that help athletes improve the results.
Excellent. And anyone listening will also hear that you don't have a Scottish accent. So where are you from?
I'm originally from Thailand, so I went to international school there, which gave me this sort of hybrid mix, American international school accent, and I've been here for 10 years now.
Yeah.
But I've got the lingo down, but the accent obviously hasn't rubbed off on me yet.
Maybe in another 10 years.
yeah, give me another 10 years.
So we met through mutual friends, 8 years ago, almost coming up to eight years ago,
8 years.
And hung out a lot through mutual friends that we had at the time. So what brought you to Scotland in the first place?
My favorite thing about Edinburgh in particular, is the fact that it is it's a city, but it doesn't feel like a city.
Mm-hmm.
You have all the benefits of being in the countryside, but all the convenience of a city. So small, not too many people, unless it's tourist season. And you've got, you know, the crags and Arsis Sea and just all this beautiful greenery that you just go walk around. Mm-hmm. It's great. Love it. And the most important thing is that the people.
Yeah.
Super friendly people. Ever since I came, you know, first came and still are. Mm. Super friendly people. Love it.
So tell us about the journey that you went through and how you started the business.
It's a long story, which I joined university in 2012, Edinburgh University, to do computer science electronics.
Mm-hmm.
And at that point in my life, I'd never really done any sport before.
Yeah.
It just wasn't on my to-do list. I was your typical geek. And after going with a friend to the, our mutual friend.
Yeah.
After going with a mutual friend to the sports fair, I got to try archery.
Yeah.
Which I absolutely fell in love with. The only problem was that I was not that great at it. And I wanted to get better. So, you know, over the course of the next few years of doing archery, I started to play around with sensors. And bring the learnings from my degree into it, building electronic sensors that mm-hmm. captured my performance. Train myself with the algorithms and the output that I developed, and eventually made it to compete for Scotland internationally and mm-hmm. home Thailand, my home country, internationally.
Yeah.
On track for Rio 2016.
Wow. That must have been quite, like, when you say, like, you weren't really into that sports to then be on track for Rio, that's quite a journey that you went through during those years. That's quite an achievement.
Yeah. See, when I think back and look at it at the time, it just felt like I was taking it day by day, and mm-hmm. I can't really pinpoint a specific thought or feeling I'm having at the time. I was just doing what I love to do, and you know, from a from a training and an enjoyment of my hobby perspective, but also playing around with data and all the sensors and tinkering perspective, and the combination of both, yeah, it just hit together. And unfortunately, I didn't get to go in the end because of a car accident before the qualifying event. But I managed to sort of prove the technology enough that we could spin out player data, and that's what we've been doing since.
So you were your first test subject, essentially.
Yeah. Yeah, that and Fiona, we tested the technology on, went from beginner to competing for Scotland in 7 months, I think.
Wow,
Seven
that's
months.
amazing. And do you think that comes largely down to the technology that we're using and the data you were able to gather?
It definitely played a big part of it. Yeah. Yeah. It was just really, it's, yeah, what we developed at the time, even though it was very rudimentary, just shortened the coaching feedback and allowed us to pick up things quicker and analyze things quicker.
So which sports can you, which sports does your wearable, how can, what do you call it?
So we
Wearable
have two
sports
products out at the moment.
data.
So we have two products. One of them is out in the market. The first one's called the Player Data Edge. It's a, go on here, there we go. It's a tracker tool that slots into a vest. And this one works for team sports only. So with this one, we really target sports like football, rugby, hockey, and we give the coaches data about how far each athlete ran, what speed zones they ran in, the give them tactical analysis about the match in terms of where they were on the pitch and how well they played together. And we launched that product in December to great reception. We have a really pretty startling statistic with our 14 clubs now that we have on board.
Excellent.
On average, we improve their performance over the first month. They see about 20% improvement in performance, which is actually just insane to us. That we can see sort of tangible numbers that we're helping these guys get better. 20% is a lot in football as well. So the real world effect is that they're just winning more games. And we saw before COVID hit, a lot of our clubs were up for promotion or top of the tables, and it's great. It's just great to see. It's such a good feeling.
So were you aware of data being used in sports before you tried to use it for yourself in archery?
Yeah, of course. The main reason I did it, and the main motivation behind player data actually, is that data does exist in sport. It's just not accessible to grassroots, amateurs, semi-professionals. Like all the technology that I've just described is available to these elite clubs in the Premier League or in Olympic academies. They all have this technology, but it costs so much and it requires so much manpower and resource to process it and understand it that it's not accessible to anyone else. So our mission at Player Data is to break open that barrier of accessibility because we figured out very early on that it actually doesn't cost very much to make the products that these guys are touting. The only thing that's difficult is to make it understandable so most people can read it without a sports science degree and understand how to interpret it. So that's where we focus our focused all our resources on, is to make it the product as easy to use so anybody could just pick it up, and also accessible from a price point so that should they want to use it, they can.
So you really identified a gap in the market and went like full steam ahead to try and fill that gap then in Scotland at least.
As we were, you know, as we were proving out the idea and testing a product market fit, as we were building the product, it became clear that we identified a niche in the market, and it was a niche that nobody was filling.
Excellent.
You know, I'm pleased to say that you know that you fulfilled a niche when We so over the corona over the corona crisis, we expected basically that sales would just completely stop and things would just freeze, and we modeled the worst case, which is like nothing's going to come back till like end of year, November time. But the thing that started us the most is that clubs have just been continually to contact us, signing contracts, buying a
Excellent.
product they can't use yet. Like, you can't really get better than that.
So that it's like there's this big hope that once everything gets started again, they really want to hit the ground running and be the best that they can be to make up for lost time.
So it's really encouraging to see.
So do you have specific sports that you want to target more than others?
Yeah, so I mean, I just touched on our team product, what we're working on, and what we're working on for the long term, and what the technology was, and what the technology, the basis of technology which we created during my university days, is on, is these sensors that we've embedded into garments. So we built sensors we can embed in garments that will allow us to create a 3 model view when you're doing your sport. So if you, let's say you were playing a round of golf, our sensors could 3D model you such that we are able to tell you where your shoulders were over the ball or over the tee as you take your shot, instead of all these other wearables that just track the club. And the principle behind that is that, a lot of the wearables out there, like your Fitbit, your Apple Watches, your golf trackers, they only track performance. Performance being your speed, your acceleration, your distance, your meters run. That,
The hard
and it's
data.
very, yeah, it, it's very, very difficult as an athlete to improve your ability using that data. You can't, because you don't have a viewpoint onto the technique. That's what you usually need a coach for. So what we did was we developed a wearable and these sensors so that we can capture that data, and we have that missing gap. And what we can do is we can build, we now that we have the technique data, we now also have the hard data because all that already exists. We can build a machine learning model that matches between your technique and your output, and allows us, and using those two bits of data, we can start to build personalized models that start to look at how to improve you yourself, your specific technique. And that's Claridata's blue sky, vision.
So it's really like making or giving the layman, if you will, the ability to really improve their techniques to the level where they could think of professional careers in whatever sport it is that they're thinking of.
Yeah, it should they want to do that. It's really just giving people a leg up where if they want to just get better at a sport, or they want, if someone has a hobby but just wants to get better at it, or if somebody is semi-professional and wants to go professional, we just want to help people get better at what they're doing. And a lot of sports, this technology that we've developed can fundamentally help with. I mentioned golf, running's a big one, cycling is a big one. Any sport where there's like what we call cyclic movements, repeating movements. So running, cycling, rowing, things when you're repeating a movement, we can really help with.
So tell us about the structure of the company. You mentioned you've got a designer and you've got another co-founder. What does the company structure look like now, and where did you start?
So it was myself and Hayden. I'll start at the beginning. Myself and Hayden, my co-founder, we met in university and we were on the same degree, same course together. We were on a course that was electronics and computer science, and it was so specific there, I think it was only 10 people on it. So it was a super specific course, but we met on there, became friends in first year. And we started to sort of revise together to help each other get through exams. Well, it's really Hayden helping me get through exams. But during that time, we would get bored. And in third year, I started telling Hayden about the project I was working on, Archery. And He happened to be working on his own little project during the time, which was building heart rate monitoring into a shirt.
Wow.
I was like, oh, that's so cool. There's a lot of synergy here. Why don't we just put that together?
Yeah.
And it kind of just, we just started on my kitchen table in Cowgate. it kind of just spiraled from there. After university, I started to do a master's in AI, and Hayden went to go get a job at Free Agent.
Mm-hmm.
But we were still working our evenings on player data. And that was the year I managed to get us our seed funding.
Mm-hmm.
And that allowed Hayden to quit his job at Free Agent and work at player data full-time, and allowed me to quit my master's and pursue it full-time. We've just been slowly growing since then. We are now 13 people.
Wow, that's fantastic. That must feel really surreal.
Yeah. Well, you know, if you like this time last year, we were three people.
That is quite some growth, Roy.
So we grew quite a lot over the last year.
Mm-hmm.
It's really one of the worst things about lockdown is that I can't just get my team together into a room anymore and take a big group picture. But we've got, you know, account managers, we've got some, Beth runs our operations, we've got a fantastic team of developers,
mm-hmm.
got a fantastic designer. We're still growing.
So where do you see this going and say, I mean, you've grown so much just in the last year, but where do you see yourself, let's say 2 years, because judging by the growth you've got now, it's going to be quite a difference from now and 2 years time.
No clue. One thing I've learned over the last sort of 3-4 years of doing this is that every plan you make, that doesn't happen. But one thing that has stuck constant throughout player data is our vision.
Yeah.
And what I expect we will be a state where we've hopefully launched out to the UK and hopefully Europe for our team product.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope we'll be at a stage where we'll be starting to launch some of those individual garments I was talking about towards the end, middle of next year, end of next year. And then we'll see where that takes us.
That sounds so exciting. So do you have any other projects on the go, or is this your main one that you're working on now?
It's a full-time,
full-time
job. It's a beyond a full-time job.
So that just, it's so fun to see the, like, from knowing you 8 years ago to seeing you now, and seeing how far you've come. It's just, it's so exciting to see that. It's not that it's hard to see it. It's just, it's so lovely to see how far you've come in those 8 years. And how happy you seem.
Yeah, I mean, you caught me on a good day.
Yes, good.
Yeah, doing this is like a roller coaster. You hear it to death, but it is really like a roller coaster. Some days it's fantastic, you're on a high. Some days it's really, really, really hard and it's tough. But as long as you kind of just keep your eye on the prize, it's fine.
Yeah.
That's one thing I learned, and one thing that I think I came is what the it's one of the. One of the things I came into, I had before starting all this, is that kind of mentality, a drive of just, you know, not stay positive, but just keep your eye on the goal.
Yeah.
And just let you, and that's really, really helped.
Where do you think you got that from?
Oh, my parents. Yeah. They're technically entrepreneurs themselves. They started their own business, and I kind of grew up sitting in their offices, watching them work.
Yeah.
And dedicate their life to their passion, and I guess that's where it's rubbed off. And well, my choice of degree certainly rubbed off, because when I was 13 or 14, my parents were too cheap to get like professional IT help, so they drafted me in, and I started becoming their IT tech support. I would fix all the computers. I would do all the networking stuff. I started helping them with all their programs that they needed and kind of just spiraled from there.
So they really set you up for life, haven't they?
yeah. Well, they gave me a skill. I'm like that skill and that I'm really, really grateful to have.
Yeah. What's been the biggest thing that you've learned since starting Player Data?
Oh, learned so many things. How long do you have?
Hours. Biggest thing I've learned.
Biggest thing I've learned. It's a difficult one because there's no one single thing that kind of just jumps out in my mind. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of little things that practical things. Like I came into doing Player Data from a computer science background, and Hayden took the job of CTO and I took the job of CEO. So practically my degree was basically useless to what my job actually entailed. So I had to learn all that. I had to learn how to run payroll. I had to learn how to, you know, read a P&L sheet. I had to learn how to do monthly accounts.
Yeah.
Things that you're not taught in university, like very practical things.
Mm.
On a higher level, you know, from a startup perspective, I think I learned, biggest thing I learned, I think, is that estimating things never works, and making long-term plans, detailed long-term plans, just never works because plans change.
Yeah.
Short-term plans are great. You can plan for the short term, but the long term, very, very difficult to plan for. Learn how to help manage people. And that is not a skill I was born with.
Mm-hmm.
And build a team and kind of understand and motivate people and people to stand behind the vision that you're building.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and made a lot of mistakes along the way as well. It was a really good learning point where we worked our asses off for 4 or 5 months in 2017, 2018, to go to the, in preparation for the Homeless World Cup, where we're gonna debut our edge tracking technology, and we were going to stream data live to fans.
Okay.
And we worked solid 4 to 5 months on it, and it worked perfectly in test. It worked perfectly when we tested it. It all was going great. We flew over to Mexico. The event was in Mexico. Wow. We flew halfway across the world. Mexico took 5 people with us. It was just me, Hayden, Donald, full-time employees, and 2 volunteers to help us set everything up, and it didn't work.
Oh no.
Because the Wi-Fi didn't work.
Oh no.
But that is the sort of thing that you can't really just chalk up as, oh, that's not, you know, it's a learning point, but it was also our fault. Because we assume that Wi-Fi
exists everywhere.
Existed everywhere. And that is assumption that you just couldn't make.
Yeah.
So that you know, completely derailed that whole trip. Okay. But it was a fantastic learning experience because it did 2 things for us. And one, it made going into new projects, we questioned everything.
Mm-hmm.
Now even things that we thought were solid or usually given, mm-hmm. like Wi-Fi. And 2, it also baked in that whole sort of mentality of, if it doesn't work, we can just scrap it and start again.
Okay.
And that was a turning point for us, because we basically scrapped that 5-6 months of work and we started again from fresh.
Yeah.
And we rebuilt the system to be fault tolerant from the start, and it resulted in a much, much better product.
Mm-hmm.
Had the Wi-Fi worked at the Homeless World Cup, I'm still convinced we probably would get through like 6 months or 8 months of sales and then start seeing problems. And then we would have been stuffed.
Yeah.
So it was actually a blessing in disguise. But the sort of mentality we carry from that is that if something doesn't work, don't be afraid to completely scrap it, rewrite it, and start again.
Okay.
And that's something that if you're a traditional project manager or you're trying to plan projects, sounds like a terrible concept because it just adds time. It makes things take longer. But actually what we've found over the last 2 years is that it's actually saved us a ton of time.
Okay.
Because we've had the willingness to scrap things that weren't working, it meant that it although it slowed stuff down maybe in the short term, maybe one or two months, after that it speeds things up dramatically. So we're really proud of that. That's one of the biggest lessons I've learned.
And what was your biggest moment of success when you realized that this was working, that this is happening?
That moment I spoke to you about in January this year,
yeah.
We started to sell to clubs, started giving out to clubs, and we were seeing the improvements in data.
Mm-hmm.
So when the first clubs data came back, we're like, okay, cool. This is cool.
Yeah.
15%, 20% improvement. Cool. The second one came back, 25% improvement. Oh, cool. There's starting to be a pattern here. When the 10th one came back, like, oh, wow. That's incredible. And then you see these clubs just winning more and more games and games that they weren't supposed to win as well.
Yeah.
So, I'm not gonna say that it's all because of us, but there is a correlation there, and it's so satisfying to see that we're helping these clubs get better.
Yeah. So what's your next milestone?
We're in the process of finishing off development for version 2 of our product.
Okay.
So we have taken this time during the whole lockdown situation and expecting no sales to go, okay, well, this is actually the perfect time to make big changes.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, make big changes. What we'll do is we'll stop selling V1 products, even though we just launched it three months ago. We're going to bring forward the launch of version 2 because it's faster, it's cheaper, and it's just better in all ways. Much easier to manufacture, much easier to scale. And we've just been focusing that on flat out. And we're hoping to launch that within the next couple of months.
Excellent.
So that's
if anyone listening wants to get in touch with you or wants their very own merchandise, how do they get in touch with you?
Oh, we don't sell our merchandise yet to the public, but I did threaten to Beth to open a Shopify store because I thought it looked so good. We've got Clarity Air branded face masks too as well.
Nice.
You can get in touch with us at www.playerdata.co.uk. You can find us on our website and the contact details are there.
Excellent. And the teams that you're looking for at the minute, what scale, what sizes, what types of teams do you want to get in touch with you?
Anybody who currently doesn't, who wants to have GPS tracking technology to improve the performance,
mm-hmm.
we work from amateur clubs to semi-professional.
Yeah.
So it's a very wide range. We're super accessible. Just drop us a message.
Excellent. Well, I hope I can interview again once you get your product number 2 launched as well and see how that's going.
Oh, yeah, it'll be exciting. Can't share the visuals yet, but it looks so cool. Excellent. It looks so cool.
Can't wait to see it all. Well, thank you so much for taking the time tonight to talk to me. For just chatting. It's really nice to catch up with you and hear everything that you've done.
Yeah, thank you very much. Thank you for having me. It's really great to catch up with you.
Thank you.
And sorry for the messy background. It's just
only I can see it. It's fine. That was the latest episode of the Wild Adventures podcast. I hope you guys really enjoyed listening to Roy's journey as much as I did. You will find links to Player Data and their social media channels in the show notes, so please take a chance to go and check them out. Have a look. And if you are on a team or think you can use with the technology, then get in touch with Roy, get in touch with Player Data, and get in touch with me and let me know how you get on with it. It would be really good to hear. As usual, if you enjoyed the podcast, then please leave a review wherever it is that you are listening to podcasts at the moment.
If you have a story you want to share, then get in touch with me at marlene@thewanderingwildling.co.uk. We now have a website set up as well called thewildadventurespodcast.com. So take a look at the website, where you'll find a little bit of a portal into all the other hobbies that I have in life, because why should you only have one? Feel free to join us on Facebook and be part of the discussions there. You can find me on Instagram. I'm available everywhere now, apparently. So looking forward to hearing your stories. Please do get in touch. We've got Patreon set up now, but there's not much there. So you can have a look at Patreon, and I will be releasing a Redbubble account with some merchandise. Very exciting. I wonder what will be there. I hope you all have a great weekend, and I will see you again next week. Bye.